Good morning. So let's jump right in. The presentation is a South Los Angeles Declaration of Health and Human Rights. First, let me thank Carmen and my co-panelists. I want to be sitting over there so I can hear you guys present and soak in your presentations. I also want to acknowledge some people in the audience. Jim Manja, the CEO of St. John's Well Child and Family Centers, whose leadership has been a driving force behind the health and human rights effort in South Los Angeles, is here as well. I don't know if he's back there. The South Los Angeles Declaration of Health and Human Rights really, let me say, I have no disclosures to present. Now we'll get on to the fun. I'll paint a quick picture of South Los Angeles, then describe a brief chronology of activities that several community organizations have come together around to advance a health and human rights approach in South Los Angeles, and then end with an activity that we're working on that's coming up in about 4 weeks, and I hope to invite you guys to participate in whatever way is possible. So South Los Angeles is similar to a lot of urban marginalized communities in the U.S. And around the world. It's home to more than 1.5 million people. Housing is substandard. The vast majority of it is slum housing. A significant proportion of the population live below the federal poverty level, and the majority of children live below that line. There are various different determinants of health indicators that probably are going to sound very familiar to the communities that many of you work in. One that we chose to put up there is an illustrative example, I think, of the structural disparities that exist in South Los Angeles. For instance, per square mile, there are about 8.5 liquor stores versus just 0.1. I'm not sure how you can use a 0.1 large-scale supermarket, but essentially there's a huge disparity there. In terms of health status and access to health care, 48% of residents have no health insurance. There's been a large-scale closure at an epidemic level, I'd say, of the emergency rooms and access to inpatient facilities in South Los Angeles. Again, a phenomenon that's not unique to South Los Angeles. There are high rates of preterm labor and of teenage pregnancy. A large proportion of youth live in foster care. There is a disproportionate prevalence of diabetes in the community, and the list goes on when you think about other chronic diseases, from hypertension to HIV. So this is daunting. How do we come together and address these intractable conditions? I think a lot of all of our communities are facing the same kind of question. What we decided to do was to look at something, and I'll go into the chronology in a bit to kind of give you the narrative for this. But what the group of folks who came together around the figurative table over the past decade have realized is that the health and human rights approach offers a very valuable tool to help to address those intractable conditions in South Los Angeles. A brief mention of what the health and human rights approach is. First, let me say that there is no definitive answer, and I think that's the most wonderful thing about it. In other words, it is a living, iterative process. But there are certain fundamental principles that seem to be shared across international applications, such as the belief that health and human rights are founded on the belief that there are certain freedoms, freedom from harassment, from discrimination, and entitlements to services like health, education, and so on. The four concepts of availability, accessibility, acceptability, and quality, the AAAQ as they're known in the health and human rights community, is also a very fundamental component that addresses, I think, a lot of the concerns that we had in South Los Angeles. There's also this notion in the health and human rights approach that's been, this is certainly applicable to the international setting, that there is a concept of progressive realization. In other words, communities and countries and settings that have limited resources are not to be held at the same standard to achieve realization of human rights in the same rapidity that other more well-resourced communities are called on to achieve. If you put that in the context of South Los Angeles, we're in Los Angeles, we're in the U.S., there really is no excuse. The progressive realization, we can't really hang our hat and say, well, we just don't have enough in this nation to advance health and human rights. If you think about it, there are communities across the world that are implementing a health and human rights approach and doing it to such good effect. We really have no leg to stand on when we try to argue, in the U.S. at least, that we can't achieve it because we just don't have the resources. Relatively speaking, we have much more than others. As you all, I think, are familiar with, the health and human rights approach and human rights in general calls on, it implicitly and explicitly actually calls on duty bearers to respect and protect and fulfill human rights, each one of those being unique and very important interrelated functions. Those duty bearers are our governments, right? It is hard to argue that corporations or other entities that outside of public government institutions are ones that hold that duty. But I don't think the duty is limited to just government. I think that one of the most wonderful things about participating in the South Los Angeles Collaborative has been the realization that we each, as community organizations, cash-strapped organizations that have been working in the community for a long time, that each of these organizations also clearly bears a duty, views itself as a duty bearer, and therefore as a promoter of health and human rights. These last two concepts of monitoring, accountability, and participation are fundamental, and I think that this presentation will probably highlight some of those components of what has been particularly useful in South Los Angeles, namely participation, monitoring, and accountability, and how it can be effective to help mobilize community around those. So, who are the folks at the table? The convening committee, and this name is something that is still, we call ourselves something different. Sometimes every time we meet, there's a different name for it, but we all know each other and work together very well at times. The organizations are the Esperanza Community Housing Corporation, which is an affordable housing developer and a Promotora training organization, one of the preeminent Promotora training organizations nationwide. Strategic Actions for a Just Economy, which is a tenant organizing group, very active in South Los Angeles and close to the downtown area as well. The Homeless Outreach Program, Integrated Care Systems, it sounds like a homeless outreach advocacy program that has been very active in the convening committee. The Southside Coalition of Community Health Centers represents not only the clinic that I work at, St. John's, but other community health centers within South Los Angeles. Community Health Councils is a South LA-based advocacy group. Los Angeles Community Action Network is a homeless advocacy and outreach organization, and St. John's, Well Child and Flame Centers. St. John's is a, since I'm here, I'll spend a little extra talking about St. John's for a second. I'm particularly proud of the fact that as a clinic, as a community health center, there is active participation and leadership within this Human Rights Collaborative from St. John's. There are a lot of clinics, and there's presentations later on during this meeting that actually describe the potential roles of clinics to be human rights agents and advocates. Right now, the professionalization, the biomedical specialization within community health centers and clinics has led to this, I think, segregation from public health and clinical medicine. St. John's is, I think, certainly at the lead in Los Angeles, and I think among very few clinics that are thinking about how to not only provide direct services to individuals who require direct primary care every day in that fee-for-service kind of model, but expand their scope and think about how to really fundamentally alter the role of a clinic in advancing community health. And as I mentioned, our CEO is here today, so we'll have a chance to speak about that later. The chronology started long before what you're seeing on the slide here, but for brevity's purpose, I just picked a point in time to start telling the story. Over a decade ago, the St. John's CEO, Esperanza's executive director, and Sage and a few others came together realizing that there was an important need to address the intractable problems that were coming into clinics to clinicians every day. Clinicians were routinely taking cockroaches out of ears, prescribing asthma medicines for yet another exacerbation, prescribing yet another steroid cream for skin irritation due to bed bug rashes, et cetera. And so, particularly because there was a concern about lead and lead poisoning in South Los Angeles, the collaborative formed out of necessity, advanced a zero tolerance policy towards lead in South Los Angeles, really paved the way. And then in October 2008, that group came together along with another partner that was mentioned earlier to think about how to apply their expertise to this intractable problem of homelessness and the growing problem of homelessness in South Los Angeles. LA is known, when you think about homelessness, I think about in Los Angeles, nationwide, people may think about Skid Row, the concentrated area downtown, but South Los Angeles experiences a huge, albeit a little bit characteristically different, phenomenon of homelessness. As it turns out, the Health and Human Rights Framework, I think, was most explicitly advanced at that point to help bring folks together and advance a common language. It turned out to be pretty effective. It caught fire. And in June of 2009, we convened the first South Los Angeles Health and Human Rights Conference, over 740 individuals, including public health leaders. There's a picture, I think right there, that's Bob Ross at the California Endowment speaking, if you can see that picture within a picture. And more importantly, residents, staff, people from the various committee members, and we're all present essentially at this day, and helped to not only discuss the commonalities across their different interest areas. So not only were there health workers, but there were folks who were food security advocates and nutrition advocates and housing advocates. All of the determinants of health more or less came together under one roof that day and discussed the interrelated nature of their work and decided to use this common language. What followed afterwards out of that conference and in subsequent community work groups was the involvement of hundreds of residents in the drafting of a declaration to essentially start to claim this space, to shift the discourse. And what was unveiled on December 10th last year, Human Rights Day, on the ground of Martin Luther King Hospital was the South Los Angeles Declaration of Health and Human Rights. There are some copies that we can make available for you later on, and it's available online. I can give that URL address to those who are interested, and we invite you to sign along with the many who have already signed online as supporters. To speed up a little bit in terms of chronology, in November, about 5 months after that initial conference, one of our convening members hosted the UN Special Rapporteur on the Right to Housing. Apologies for the graphic there, but the UN Special Rapporteur's office is a very important office, and I'd offer, I think, for those of you who are unaware of it, it's an incredible resource that we in the U.S. who are thinking about health and human rights work can utilize to advance our domestic agenda. In May 2010, St. John's, along with some partners, hosted a town hall with the UN Special Rapporteur on the Right to Health. So building on the work that we had done previously, that's a picture of Anand Grover, the current Rapporteur on the Right to Health, who came and presented to a town hall of about 300 folks there. And then in June, we presented at the U.S. Social Forum and met with colleagues from Vermont and Montana and other parts of the nation who are advancing a health and human rights approach in incredible ways. And I think there's two things I want to mention. One is that for St. John's, the clinic's role in advancing health and human rights currently, there's a lot of activities, but here's a small nutshell of what's going on right now. There is a really fervent effort to build right to health committees, and we have support from some foundations in Los Angeles to help to build a health and human rights constituency. So in other words, take the patients who are sometimes called consumers of healthcare and turn them instead into active participants in addressing these upstream determinants of health. So that's a pretty exciting development. The social medicine program, which I direct, is interested in looking at how clinical practice itself can be realigned to address determinants of health in practice. For instance, asking questions about substandard housing directly in the clinical encounter and linking people to care if they experience those risk factors. And then, of course, participation in the Human Rights Collaborative, this convening committee. There are a lot of lessons that I think that we've reflected on, and sometimes we work so hard that we don't often have a chance to reflect on this, but this is an opportunity to say, I think that that what our experience with a community-led health and human rights approach has demonstrated is that, first, we can shift the policy discourse. We can stop talking as much about tea parties and about budget cuts and start talking about the rule being the promotion, the protection, and the fulfillment of human rights, and how everything outside of that is certainly an aberration. Shifting that frame and moving the discourse a little bit is, I think, an important, if not intangible and sometimes not neglected, advantage of a human rights approach in the community level. Clearly, there's advantages for mobilizing residents. I think this is a very results-oriented approach, and we're having a conference soon to talk about that. The ability to build transnational partnerships with groups like the Physicians for Human Rights and PSR and others, and then engaging public health and medicine, again, crossing that divide that has existed, is an important benefit as well. I end by asking you to save your date for December 10th, Friday, December 10th, in about a month, and join us if you can, or support us by endorsing the next South Los Angeles Health and Human Rights Conference, which will be at the LA Convention Center, probably one of the largest gathering spaces in Los Angeles, and onwards and upwards. Thanks.